It's an eternity, O God. We love you, Father. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Not on? I'm not sure. Is that okay? All right. Okay, this morning, turn with me to the first epistle of John. This was on all morning. Now it's off. I don't know what's going on. Willard said his went off now. Okay. We want to look at some of the things that John taught here in his letter. John's letter, the first epistle, was rather unique. I felt, and it's always been a blessing in my life, a tremendous encouragement. And he says one place, he says, these things were written that ye may know. And he talks a lot about that throughout his writing here, that of knowing where we are and knowing God and knowing where we stand in relation to God. And I think that's something that's very important for us today, that we know where we are in our relationship with God in the times that we're living, in the world that we're living, and conditions being as they are. And many of these scriptures here are very familiar to us, but there are some beautiful truths in here that we want to look at. So let's read here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. That's what we were talking about this morning. The beginning of creation, the beginning of time. Jesus was there. God and the Father were there in the creation. It says, which we have seen. Here we see John says, he has seen, is looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here's a verse that really stood out to me as I was meditating on this in the last yesterday, as I was meditating on the Word of God here. It says that that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. This is, again, he's saying, this is the reason I'm writing this letter. It says that ye may have fellowship with us, so that we have fellowship on this level. But it says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The only basis for our fellowship here on this level is to have a fellowship with God, that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Are we fellowshipping with God? Are you fellowshipping with God? I guess the challenge that I, and am I fellowshipping with God? Are we experiencing that fellowship with God? Now, I looked in the dictionary. The word fellowship means to be the state of being joined together with others of common interests, ideals, beliefs, and experiences, that there's a oneness in our goals and relationships, our passions, our loves. Is that where we are today in our relationship with God? Do we have that same passion that God has? Do we have a oneness in our relationship with God, that our love For that what we love, we love what God loves, and we want what God wants, and our experiences, what God is experiencing. Is our heart one with God today? And let's think about a little bit. What might God's heart be here in 2011, in September the 11th, 2011? What do you think God's heart might be for humanity? I think God has a tremendous passion in his heart for humanity, that they might be saved. I believe that's the only reason that we're here today. I believe God would have cut us off long ago if we didn't have a passion for humanity, that they might be saved. I don't think he's waiting for us to make more money. I don't think he's waiting for us to have more programs. I believe God is waiting so that souls will be saved and that the people of God will be united and walking together with the same heart that God has. Why else is he waiting today? Why else is he still giving us a day of grace? But that souls will be saved, that more people will be brought into the kingdom of God before it is forever and eternally too late. What else do you think is the heart of God for today? Does anyone have any thoughts? What is your thought? What do you think God's heart is today? Do you have a suggestion? Anyone have any suggestions? Let's just open it up. What do you feel God's heart is for today? And we're supposed to have the heart of God. We're supposed to be in full fellowship with him. Do you have any suggestions? Amen. Amen. That's definitely James. Amen. Amen. That we humble ourselves and that we pray and that we confess our sins and we cry out to God. I believe God is waiting. He's waiting for his people to cry out to God and confessing our sins and repenting before God. And I believe that God has a tremendous long-suffering and patience with his people. That he's waited this long. And do we have that same kind of long-suffering and patience with one another as what God has had for us? Do we have that same kind of heart for those around us? Those that maybe don't like us, those that don't appreciate us. They didn't appreciate Jesus, but he still loved and he forgave. Forgiveness is something, it's the heart of God, and it's the heart of God for us today. Over in the next chapter, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's one thing you see much in the book of John. It talks a lot about those that keep the commandments of God, those that do the will of God, those that do what God wants them to do. This is how we know that we're righteous, when we do the will of God, when we live a righteousness in righteousness. This is the test of the true faith, that it brings forth righteousness and submission to the will of God. I think I'll read more here in chapter 1. It says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Is your joy full this morning? "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And the only way that our joy can be full is when we have the satisfaction of our soul, that we are in, have complete at peace with God, and that we know where we stand with God. This is the only way that we can have fullness of joy. And that's why I believe that John was writing these things. He says about that we might know. And whenever we know, then we can have that fullness of joy. We can have, that our joy can be full, and we can experience the fullness of God in our life. I like the descriptions that God uses in the Word of God in describing the different writers talk about the fullness of the blessings of the experience of the Christian. It says that our joy may be full. And it says that we have great grace. And it says that we can be strong in faith. And we have an anger that is steadfast. We have love that is fervent. We have salvation that is full and free and a sure foundation. You know, it's not something that is just mild and just a little bit, but God has a full salvation. It is complete. It is secure in Him, that there is absolutely nothing that is lacking in our relationship with God. He gives us fullness of salvation, completeness of our salvation, a fullness of joy. Thank God for that this morning, that we can have the fullness of joy, even in the times that we're living, when there's much darkness in the world. May our light shine bright, that the world can see that we are full of joy. I believe that's the testimony that's going to radiate from our life more than anything else, is that people will see that we have joy in our hearts. People will see that we have joy in our lives. Says, "This then is the message that we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all." There's no room for darkness with God. There's no room for any darkness in our life. Says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and have we fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." But also it says that if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The light of having our life transparent before God, that there's not hidden sin, there's not dark places and dark corners in our life where we're hiding some sin, but that we have our life is completely transparent before God, that the Lord can see and know and understand our heart, that we can be completely free before Him. This is the kind of light that God wants us to be walking in, that we walk in the obedience to the Word of God as He reveals it to us. I believe walking in the light is that of doing what we know to do. Doing what we know to do whenever we know to do it. I think one thing about walking with God, you know, we only walk with Him today. Today is the day that we walk with Him. We cannot know what tomorrow's going to hold, and we can't walk with Him yesterday because that's already done. But today, we must do what God tells us to do today. And I believe God wants to lead us. He wants to speak to us. He shows us and He guides us and He gives us direction for today. And He's not necessarily going to tell us to give us direction for tomorrow. But if we are walking where we know we're supposed to be today, God's blessing can be upon us and we can claim the forgiveness of sins and the joy of the Lord in our life. Thank God for the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God that there is forgiveness of sins. Yes, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all had sin in our life. We have all failed. We have all come short of the glory of God. Not one of us deserves to stand before God and in righteousness. It's only because of His forgiveness and His love for us that we are what we are. It's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary that we have forgiveness of sins and that we have a hope of heaven, that we have forgiveness of sins. And it not only forgives us our sins, but He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's a continual cleansing that He washes us, He cleanses us, and He makes us more like Himself. He prepares us and makes us, makes pottery in the potter's wheel. He's continually making it and improving it. And that's how He's working in our lives, to continue cleansing us and improving and making us more what He wants us to be. He says, if we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. You say we have not sinned. I believe John is trying to establish the fact that there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all gone astray. There is none of us that justified before God in ourselves. But by the faith of Jesus Christ and the experience of God's presence in our life, we can experience victory over sin. And that comes out very clearly in some of the verses later on here in the next chapter. Chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you. Here again, he just constantly writing why he writes this, and it's so beautiful. Here he says, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Oh, the last verse it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now it says, we write these things unto you that you sin not. Now what's the difference? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. But now he's writing these things so that we sin not. So this isn't saying that we're going to sin every day. We're going to just continually sin all of our life. This is saying he's writing this to us so that we don't continue in that way of sin, but that we experience victory through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. He substituted our punishment. He took the punishment for us. He paid the price for us that we can have our sins forgiven. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world have been nailed on the cross, on Calvary. But so many people blindly continue on walking in sin and don't pay any attention to the sacrifice that was made for our sins. And many, many, many of those in the world today don't know anything about it. And the reason being that we don't tell them about it. We don't share the word. We don't witness like we should. I believe that we are called by the heart of God to share the message of Jesus wherever we have opportunity. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Here again we come to the heart of God. As Jesus, what Jesus loved, and what Jesus did, and what Jesus' heart was, is the heart that he has for you and I today. That we walk as he walked. What was the heart of Jesus when he was here? In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath preached deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was the heart of God. This was the calling of God. And I believe that this was the way that he walked, and this is the way he lived. I believe this is what God is asking of us today, that we walk in the Spirit and minister to the needs around us in whatever the needs might be. Though there are many needs around us, there are many brokenhearted people, there are many that are poor, there are many that are captives in bondage to sin, blind to the realities of life. This is a calling of God upon the church today to minister to those needs and to reach out and to be little Christ here on this earth, reaching out and continuing the work that he did when he was here. And if ever so much it's time to be doing that kind of work, it's today, because of this evil day that we are living in. There are so many rejecting God and turning against God. God is calling us. God is calling the church to calling us unto our knees. He's calling us to repent before God and to do the work of God. He's calling us in these last days to repent before him and to pour our hearts out to him and to be that people that he wants us to be, that we would be like him, that we'd be servants like him, that we'd be ministers like him, that we'd be reaching out to the lost and the hurting and the dying around us. God's highest goal is not that saints gather together in their beautiful lifestyles, and the total focus of our life is that we spend all our time relating together with each other. The purpose of God is to reach out, and that many around us would experience the benefits of the gospel. That's what I see here when I see Jesus and what he's calling us to walk as he walked, to be as he was, to serve as he served, to live as he lived. He talks about the commandments of Jesus. There are numerous commandments of Jesus, I believe. One we know is that we love, the main commandment, the perfect commandment, that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. This is a commandment of God. And that we love one another with a pure heart, fervently. We love one another, and we love those around us. And there's also the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel and minister to those that are lost and to baptize and to lay hands on people and pray for people. This is the ministry that the church is called to. As Jesus served, may we serve. Here again, he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is a word from which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, The true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. How can we have be the people of God, walking with God, and have walls, and have attitudes, and have divisions among us? It is not of God. We must cry out to God. We must fall on our face before God. There is no room for hatred. There is no room for a lack of love. There is no room in the kingdom of God. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling. This is the key to walking together in serving God, that we have that love for our brother. I think it's so many times it's that lack of love that causes people to stumble. It causes offenses. It causes pain. It causes hurt. And if we love as God loved us, we can walk in the light and experience the joy of the Lord in fullness, experience the power of God in our life, and minister way he calls us to. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto young men, because you overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. This is a positive message to those that he's writing to. I write unto you, because your sins are forgiven you. He was writing to those that were saved, those that were walking with God. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. This is a testimony of the people of God that are walking with God. This is the picture that God wants for his people to experience. That we can experience victory over sin. That we can experience the power of God in our lives. That you can be strong and the word of God abiding in you. Is the word of God abiding in you? Is it something that you are dwelling in the word of God? Are you feeding on the word of God? This is our strength. This is our lifeline. When we dwell on the word of God and we have the word of God as precious in our life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. That's awesome. We can have that confidence that as we do the will of God, it doesn't matter what happens to this old world. It doesn't matter what happens to this old body. It doesn't matter what happens when judgment comes and when the tragedy comes, that we can look forward with hope and confidence that we're going to abide forever. We're going to live forever with God. That's the confidence that we have this morning. That's our hope this morning. That we can look forward with confidence to being with God throughout all of eternity. That's the greatest joy that we have. That's the reason for our fullness of joy. Because we have that confidence that we're going to abide with him forever. That we're going to be with God forever, that we can have a hope of heaven forever and ever. And he talks about the Antichrist. You know, we're living in that last time when there's much evil. It says, little children, it's the last time. This was many years ago, and he said it was the last time. What must we be in? It says, you heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they're not of us. And if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Do we have that unction from the Holy One? We have an unction that we don't need to be deceived by the Antichrist. We have contact with God. We have the life of God within us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. That we we know where we stand. We know we have assurance of salvation. We have the hope of heaven. We have our security in Him. We can know where we stand. And that's what he's writing about in this book. That we might know that we can have that security. We have that peace. We have that satisfaction of our soul. I've not written unto you because you know the truth, but because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which ye heard from the beginning. If that which ye heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even so it hath taught you, ye shall abide in them. Here again, he's talking about that anointing, that unction that comes from God, that Holy Spirit. God talks about that's referred to in earlier, he talks about the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, it shall teach you all things, and you no longer need to say, teach one another. But this is that we have the abiding presence of God within us, and it gives us light, it gives us guidance, it gives us hope, it gives us direction for our life, that we can know what God's desire and will is for our life. We can make decisions and we can experience God's presence upon us because of that anointing that is upon our life. Thank God for that today. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Ye know that he is righteous. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. This morning, this is my challenge to us all, that we allow God to be our Father, that we be as little children and just put our entire being in him, abiding in him and resting in him, that the fruit of God would be manifested in our life, that God would be glorified, and that our lives would be sold out for him, that our service here would be totally for his glory and for his purpose. We would not be living for ourselves, but that we would be living for God alone, that God would have full control of our thoughts and our hearts and our desires and our passions, that the ministry of God would go forth here in this time, here in this community, here in this church, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, and that God would go forth with power, and that the message of Jesus would reach many hearts, and that many souls would be brought into the kingdom. This morning, I think that's about all I have to share. I had wasn't feeling too well yesterday, and studying didn't really go too well. And I knew it was going to be a little short, but